Islamic parables timeless and bright, bringing the soul to the path of light. Islamic parables, Islamic parables.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله والصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله والصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series Islamic Parables. Inshallah Azzawajal, in today's episode and program, we are going to discuss the parables of divine mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has stated that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. So without further ado, let's recite together. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. There were three men. They set out until night came and they reached a cave. So they entered the cave. A rock fell down from the mountain and blocked the entrance of the cave. They said, "Nothing will save you from this unless you supplicate to Allah by virtue of a righteous deed that you have done." Thereupon, one of them said, "Wallah, I had parents who were old and I used to offer them milk before any of my children or slaves. One day, I went far away in search of grazing and could not come back until they had fallen asleep. When I milked as usual and brought the milk to drink, I found them both asleep. I hated to disturb them and I also disliked to give the milk to my children before them. So my children were crying out of hunger at my feet, but I waited with the bowl in my hand for them to wake up, for his parents to wake up. When they awoke at dawn, they drank the milk. Allah, if I did so to seek your pleasure, then deliver us from this distress caused by the rock." The rock moved slightly, but they were unable to escape. Now, there were three of them. The next man, he said that, "Oh Allah, I had a cousin whom I loved more than anyone else, and I wanted to have my carnal desires fulfilled with her, but she refused. Heart-pressed in a year of famine, she approached me and I gave her 120 dinars on condition that she would yield herself to me. She agreed. And when we got together, she said, 'Fear Allah and do not break the seal unlawfully.' I moved away from her in spite of the fact that I loved her most passionately. And I let her keep the money that I had given her. Wallah, if I did that to seek your pleasure, then remove the distress in which we are." The rock then moved aside a bit further, but they were still unable to escape. The third man, he said, "Wallah, I hired some laborers and paid them their wages, except one of them departed without taking his due. I invested his money in business and the business grew and prospered greatly. After a long time, he came to me and said, 'O slave of Allah, pay me my due.' I said, 'All that you see is yours, the camels, the cattle, the goats and slaves.' He said, 'O slave of Allah, do not mock at me,' meaning do not ridicule." Then he said, I assured him that I was not joking. So he took all the things and went away. He spared nothing. Wallah, if I did so seeking your pleasure, then relieve us of our distress." The rock then moved aside and they now at this time, they were able to walk out freely. Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. This beautiful hadith and the parable of the divine mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how Allah azza wa jal had gave them a way out from the difficulties. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he makes a way out for those who are sincere in their endeavors, who do things for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who fear Allah azza wa jal, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in the glorious Quran, "Man yattaqillah yaj'al lahu makhraja." Allahu Akbar. So yes, it is true that those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he creates a way out for them. To present a pious deed or an action in the divine court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a means of acceptance of one's dua. And that's when the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers. We should remember to make dua and invoke the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even when we are in a comfortable state, and not only when we are in a state of difficulty, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the servant who makes dua, who begs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that at the same time, subhanallah, invoking the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it shows that we are the servants and He is the creator. We should also never lose hope in the divine mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this circumstance that we have just learned from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look at these men who were trapped. I mean, it is as if they were in a place which was surrounded by mountains, huge rock. Who could remove a huge rock? They could never. Subhanallah. But the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it came to their aid. And due to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rock moved. So our du'as, if we invoke the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they can move mountains. And this is so true in the light of this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sincerity is a very noble and great trait, as was proven from this parable of three travelers that were trapped in the cave. And from all of the good deeds that they did, there was one thing in common. They all did that sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes. And if sincerity is there, then even little action can mean a lot. Subhanallah. One example, that the sincerity of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and when they gave charity in the path of Allah, even if it was a handful of grain, and now if we as non-Sahaba, if we, alhamdulillah, if we get rich and we can donate a mountain of gold, it will still not be able to match up to the one fist of grain that the Sahaba donated in the path of Allah. This sincerity was of another level. We can never match. So it is not about so much as quantity, but it is always about quality. Sincerity is a noble trait, and this is shown in this beautiful hadith from all the three men that were there. These were the most sincere actions that they could recall. And they did all of this sincerely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Serving one's parents, as we learned from the first man's parable that he mentioned, he would not give his children, his family, the milk to drink before he could serve his parents. So his parents, they were first in his list of priorities. First priority was his parents. Serving one's parents is a means of success in both the worlds. Subhanallah. And that invoked the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How sincere was he in his obedience to his parents? And how much, subhanallah, merit his parents had in his eyes that he overlooked feeding his family and first fed his own parents? Subhanallah. Yes, and we don't know what sacrifices our parents went through to feed us, to provide for us, to go and earn their livelihood. Sometimes they had to face hardships, humiliation. And through all of that, they alhamdulillah brought us up. And when we grow up, unless we become parents, we don't know their troubles, their difficulties through which they went and provided for us. Only when you yourself become a parent, then it becomes known to you, oh, okay, this is so hard. I wonder how my parents did it. Allahu Akbar. Now our eyes open. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always grant us tawfiq to value our parents while they are alive, before it is too late. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, when it comes to serving our parents and being obedient to them, he said, they are your heaven and they are your hell. Meaning if we manage to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by pleasing our parents, then yes, they are our Jannah. But if we earned the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by displeasing our parents, then they are our hell. One should give one's parents the highest position compared to one's significant other or one's own children and other relatives. This is the lesson that we get to learn from this beautiful parable. As much as we serve our parents, we can never truly repay them. We think that we can repay our parents, Allahu Akbar. There was a person who said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the scorching heat on the thorny stones, I carried my mother. Have I paid her dues and her rights? He said, no. This wasn't even equal to all the contractions that she had when she gave birth to you. Not even one of them. Allahu Akbar. So yes, we can never truly repay the dues of our parents, what they went through in order to keep us comfortable. There may have been many nights where our parents may be sleeping in the cold while keeping us warm, going themselves going hungry but keeping us healthy. They themselves are sickly and couldn't afford the medication and the treatment, but they made sure that we went to the doctor, we got the treatment, that our stomachs were full, we were properly hydrated. So to refrain from committing sins is also a noble act. It is an act through which one can attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by sincerely fearing Allah azza wa jal. So to refrain from committing a sin, even though one has the power to sin, simply because one has the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahu Akbar, it is a very noble and great act. And this we get to learn from the second man's parable, the story that he narrated, that he relayed, that how he had this desire for one of the females that was related to him. And in her weakest time, when there was famine, when she had no food to eat, she was in dire circumstances. And in that circumstance, she came and she asked him for financial assistance. In return, he saw it as an opportunity. Yes. He saw it as an opportunity to fulfill his desire. And then this girl, she then reminded him that she, although she was hungry, she was in need, but she was not willing to compromise on her modesty. She was not willing to compromise with her dignity. And ultimately, he saw it from her point of view. And subhanAllah, he left her. He let go of her. She had the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in turn, he also was instilled in his heart the fears of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he let go of her. He didn't even ask for the 120 coins that he had given her. He let it be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sincerely, he let her go. And this is so much appreciated. Meaning when you have the means to commit a sin, there's nothing stopping you, but only the fear of Allah. And then on your own, you say to yourself, I'm not going to do this because I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For no other reason. Just for the fear of Allah azza wa jal. You wouldn't dare do that indecent or evil act. And subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this actually invoked the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the rock moved after that. Subhanallah. So this act of piety that he displayed, and although she was in a dire circumstance, and he saw her in her weakest moment, and he tried to get benefit from her, but then his conscience awoke when the girl reminded him that, you know, they were in privacy. There was nothing stopping him. She said, fear Allah. And this instilled the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart, and he let go of her. If one has the real wish to refrain from sin, Allah Almighty could create means for that person to protect himself from that sin. Subhanallah. But first, we must have the willingness to protect ourselves against sins. And if there is a will, there is a way, as the saying goes. If we have the will, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create the means. Sincere deeds, they carry immediate effect and can even turn rocks into candles. Subhanallah. If the intention is sincere, if the action is sincere. Returning a trust is a means of removing personal calamity. And one should make sure that one pays the worker on time and properly. As the Islamic etiquette is to pay the due of a person before his sweat dries. If the person has not come to collect his wages, one should make sure that the wages are kept aside so that it could be eventually given back to the person to whom it's due. Subhanallah. And to be kind and courteous to a poor person or worker is indeed a very great and noble act, because it may be the case now that we have the upper hand, we are outwardly well off, we are affluent outwardly, but in reality we may be poor. In what sense? The person who may be financially not well off, financially he may be weak, financially he may be poor, but his account in the Akhirah is brimming with good deeds, with virtues. Whereas we may be outwardly wealthy here, which is the temporary life, temporary wealth, and our accounts on the, in the hereafter is nil and zero. What then? Can we still claim to be wealthy and well off and affluent or independent, really? Sayyidina Abdurrahman bin Abdullah bin Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, he narrates that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explaining that in the past, three people were traveling away when it became dark. Then they made dua, as we have narrated the entire parable. Subhanallah. When the entrance of the cave got blocked, they made dua through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by making their deeds a wasila in the court of Allah azza wa jal. Allama ibn Battal rahimahullah ta'ala, he explains that if a person uses his good and pious deed as a wasila, as a medium, with sincere intention, which he has performed strictly for the divine pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is great hope that his dua would be accepted. This is clearly seen in this hadith sharif. Once pious and good deeds performed for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can certainly be used as a wasila, as a medium, subhanallah. And this is from the commentary on Bukhari Sharif. Allama Abu Zakariya bin Sharaf al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he explains that in times of difficulty, sadness, and when one wishes for rain, at these times it is considered as mustahab that one uses his pious deeds as a wasila, as a medium. This was done by the people in the cave and the du'as were accepted. Subhanallah. This incident has been explained by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a sign of praise for these people in the cave and as a mark of excellence for them. It also explains the excellence of serving one's parents to save oneself from haram act, even though one has the power at the moment to perform this haram act, and the importance of returning a trust. It also proves that one needs to be kind and the permissibility of employment as an instrument in Islamic business. Alhamdulillah. Allama Badruddin Aini rahimahullah, he further explains that to present the stories of previous people and to use some of their pious stories, the deeds and actions as a source of inspiration is permissible. This was clearly shown by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he explained this incident. Secondly, to spend money in the upkeep of one's parents, one's wife and children is wajib. They are more deserving than any other family members. And thirdly, it is considered as mustahab to use one's pious deeds and actions in the court of Allah azza wa jal as a wasila, as a medium. This is also done while asking for rain, for istisqa. Fourthly, if a person becomes guilty of committing a sin and then busies himself with performing good deeds, it is hoped that he would be forgiven. And lastly, if a person decides to commit a sin, then he desists from committing this sin with the sincere intention of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would be given immense reward, subhanallah. And all of these we see playing out in this beautiful parable. And three acts are part of huququl ibad, rights of people. Number one, to be kind to one's parents. Secondly, to protect oneself from committing adultery against an innocent person, or even though one may have the power to do so. And thirdly, to fulfill the rights of one's workers and laborers, to pay them on time, and to not take undue advantage over them, subhanallah. In Surah Bani Israel, verse 23 and 24, Allah Almighty, He states, "And your Lord has decreed that you worship none but Him, and to be and be kind to your parents. If one or both of them reach old age in your presence, then do not even say uff to them, and do not scold them, and speak to them with courteous words, and lower your wing of humility to them out of affection, and say, O my Lord, have mercy on them both, as they raised me when I was a child." If he was pertaining to these verses, Sadrullah Fazil, Hadrat Maulana Naimuddin Muradabadi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he explains that when your parents become weak and old, and they start to develop weakness in their joints and bones, as you were helpless in front of them when you were little, in the same manner, they are now with you as you were with them when little. At that time, never utter any words to them which could hurt their feelings, nor should you scold them, and do not speak in a rude manner. In fact, you should speak to them in such a manner as a servant speaks to his master. Such is the amount of respect one should have for one's parents. If you have to spend on them, do not be stingy, but spend your best wealth on them. No matter how much of service you are to them, you will never be able to fulfill the rights of your parents over you. You should, in fact, make dua that since you cannot repay them, Allah Almighty should shower His choicest blessings upon them for this favor which they have done to you. Explaining the rights of one's parents under verse number 83 of Surah Al-Baqarah, the eminent scholar, he explains that love them with sincere affection. Treat them with respect wherever they sit or they awake. Use words of respect when addressing or speaking to them. Strive to make them happy and joyous. And spend your best and most valuable wealth on them. Make sure that you fulfill the wasiyat after they pass away, the inheritance. Perform Fatiha, Isale Sawab, recite the Holy Quran on their behalf regularly, and give charity in their name regularly. Continue to make dua for them and visit their grave at least once a week. If you feel that they are in a certain worldly or religious issues, they are, talk to them and advise them in the most kind manner. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has declared that when a child looks at his parents with mercy, for every time he looks, Allah Almighty rewards him with the reward of one complete and accepted Hajj. The blessed companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, asked, even if he sees them 100 times a day in this manner, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, Allah Almighty is the greatest and the most pure, subhanallah. Hazrat Sayyidina Bayezid Bistami, rahimahullah ta'ala, he narrates that one extreme cold evening, my mother asked me for water. When I returned with the water container, she was already sleeping. I did not consider it proper to disturb her, and I stood there holding the water container. I decided to stand next to her so that when she wakes up, I could give her the water. I stood there for quite some time. In fact, so long that some of the water fell on my finger and turned into ice. When she finally awoke, I presented the water to her. However, since my finger was stuck to the container, because the water that had spilled, it turned into ice. Due to the ice, the skin came off and my finger began to bleed. When my mother asked what happened, I explained everything to her. After which she raised her hands and made dua that, O Allah, I am pleased with him. You must also be pleased with him. Subhanallah, subhanallah. The barakah of this dua has become apparent to the entire world in the form of Sayyidina Bayezid Bistami, rahimahullah ta'ala. There is hardly a book written on Sufism or any other spiritual matter where the blessed name of Sayyidina Bayezid rahmatullahi ta'ala does not appear. Subhanallah. He is also termed as the Qutb of Ahwal by the author of the footnotes on Ihya Ulumuddin. Subhanallah. To refrain from sins, even though one has the power to commit it, it is indeed such a merit, highlighting the status of those who protect themselves from adultery and protect their dignity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Al-Mu'minun, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ, and those who protect their chastity. In Surah Rahman, verse 46, Allah Azza wa Jal has stated, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانَ, and there are two paradise for the one who fears standing before his Lord. In Surah Nazi'at, verse 40 and 41, Allah Almighty states, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى, and for he who feared standing before his Lord and restrained his carnal self from against base desires, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى, indeed paradise is his abode. Allah Almighty clearly commands us to protect our gaze and our dignity. In Surah Nur, verse 30 and 31, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands and he says, command the Muslim men to lower their gaze and protect their concealed parts. This is purer for them. Allah is aware of their deeds. Command the Muslim women to lower their gaze and protect their chastity. In these verses, the vision and gaze of people are being explained and highlighted. There is no doubt that everything starts when one sees something. Therefore, the cause of this sin is being restricted so that it goes no further than that. Once you lower your gaze, you cannot be overtaken by desire. And when there is no desire, there is no encouragement to commit further sins. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allah Azza wa Jal has declared, an evil gaze is an arrow of the Satan which is steeped in poison. Whosoever refrains from this evil gaze due to his fear for me, I will bestow upon him such iman, such faith, whose sweetness he will feel in his heart. Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. It is reported that there was once a muazzin who had given adhan for 40 years. Once while giving adhan, his eyes fell upon a pretty lady who happened to be a Christian. He then felt completely desirous of her and lost all his common sense, all his wit, all his intellect, and went after her. He left the adhan and asked the lady to marry him. She replied that her mahr would indeed be very heavy on him. When he asked what mahr did she want, she replied that he would have to adopt another religion. And he agreed to this and accepted the other religion. She also advised him that her father was on the lower floor of the house and that he should approach her father to marry her. As he was walking down the stairs of the house, he fell and died and departed from this world in the state of kufr and disbelief. Allahu Akbar. So yes, this is the state of evil gaze. And this is what happens when our gaze is not protected. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has stated that three eyes would never see the fire of hell. Which are those three eyes? The eyes which stood as to look out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The eyes, number second, the eyes which shed tears in the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thirdly, the eyes which stopped from seeing those things which Allah Almighty had made haram. These three eyes will be protected from seeing the fire of hell. Sayyidina Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam declared that when the gaze of a Muslim falls on a pretty woman and he lowers his gaze, Allah Almighty will instill joy in his heart for acts of ibadah and worship. Sayyidina Ubadah bin Samit, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam declared that whoever can give me a guarantee of six things, I will give him a guarantee of entering paradise. What are those six things? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked for the guarantee of. He says, number one, when he speaks, he should speak the truth. Number second, when he promises, he should keep his promises. Number third, when a trust is placed with you, you should return it. Number fourth, protect your private parts. And number five, lower your gaze. And number six, refrain your hands, meaning do not cause trouble for others. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has stated that when a female performs her five times salah, protects her private parts, and obeys her husband, she may enter Jannah through whichever door she wishes. Allah, Allah, subhanallah. This Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has stated that there are seven people who will be blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with being under the shade of the divine arsh at the time when besides the shade of the arsh, no other shade will exist. He then mentioned these seven people, and among them, he also mentioned that person who will be invited by a beautiful female with influence and power to commit a sin. In other words, adultery, and he will reply that, no, I fear my creator. If that is his response, Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Abdurrahman bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he explains that if he did not hear this hadith sharif nearly seven times from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would not have mentioned it. However, he admits that he heard this hadith sharif even more times than that, meaning more than seven times he heard this hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam explains that there was once a person among Bani Israel by the name of Kifli who was a great sinner. Once a helpless female asked him for some money and he gave her 100 dinars with the condition that she commits a sin with him. However, when he approached this female, she began to tremble severely, and also she also cried out. When he asked her why she was crying, she replied that, I have never done this before, and today this desperation has made me helpless. When he heard this, Kifli, the man who gave her the money, the lender, he moved away from this female and declared that if this is your state because of the fear you have for Allah Almighty, then I am more entitled than you to fear him. Leave, and whatever money I have given you, it belongs to you. And I swear by Allah that after this, I will never disobey my Lord. It so happened that he passed away in the same night. In the morning, the people found a notice on his door which read that without doubt, Allah Almighty has forgiven Kifli. The people were very surprised when they saw this. Subhanallah, subhanallah, may Allah Azza wa Jal give us true heart of repentance. Ameen bi jahin nabiyil ameen. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, we are going to continue with our discussion, as we have, mashallah, today once again a beautiful kalam and nasiha to go and listen to. Let's go and listen to the kalam and then the nasiha as well. Thereafter we shall return and continue with our today's discussion. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وسلم.
تیبہ سے لوٹنا کسی عاشق سے پوچھئے, تیبہ سے لوٹنا کسی عاشق سے پوچھئے, ایسا لگے کہ روح بدن سے گزر گئی, ایسا لگے کہ روح بدن سے گزر گئی.
ہم مدینے سے اللہ کیوں آ گئے, قلب حیران کی تسکی وہیں رہ گئی, دل وہیں رہ گیا, جبی رہ گئی
اللہ اللہ وہاں کا درود و سلام اللہ اللہ وہاں کا سجود و قیام اللہ اللہ وہاں کا درود و سلام اللہ اللہ وہاں کا سجود و قیام اللہ اللہ وہاں کا وہ کیف دوام اللہ اللہ وہاں کا وہ کیف دوام صلات سکون آفری رہ گئی
ہم مدینے سے اللہ کیوں آ گئے قلب حیران کی تسکین وہی رہ گئی
جس جگہ سجدار زی کی لذت ملی جس جگہ ہر قدم ان کی رحمت ملی جس جگہ سجدار زی کی لذت ملی جس جگہ ہر قدم ان کی رحمت ملی جس جگہ نور رہتا ہے شام و سحر جس جگہ نور رہتا ہے شام و سحر فلک رہ گیا وہ زمین رہ گئی
دل وہی رہ گیا جان وہی رہ گئی ہم اسی در پہ اپنی جبی رہ گئی
پڑھ کے نصر من اللہ فتح قریب جب ہوئے ہم رواسوئے کوئے حبیب پڑھ کے نصر من اللہ فتح قریب جب ہوئے ہم رواسوئے کوئے حبیب برکتیں رحمتیں ساتھ چلنے لگی برکتیں رحمتیں ساتھ چلنے لگی بے بسی زندگی کی یہیں رہ گئی
ہم مدینے سے اللہ کیوں آ گئے قلب حیران کی تسکین وہی رہ گئی
یاد آتے ہیں ہم کو وہ شام و سحر وہ سکون دل و جان و روح و نظر یاد آتے ہیں ہم کو وہ شام و سحر وہ سکون دل و جان و روح و نظر یہ انہی کا کرم ہے انہی کی
عطا یہ انہی کا کرم ہے انہی کی عطا ایک کیفیت دل نشین رہ گئی دل وہیں رہ گیا جاں وہیں رہ گئی خم اسی در پہ اپنی جبی رہ گئی زندگانی وہیں کاش ہو بسر کاش بہزاد آتے نہ ہم لوٹ کر زندگانی وہیں کاش ہوتی بسر کاش بہزاد آتے نہ ہم لوٹ کر اور پوری ہوئی ہر تمنا مگر اور پوری ہوئی ہر تمنا مگر یہ تمنا قلب حزین رہ گئی
ہم مدینے سے اللہ کیوں آ گئے قلب حیران کی تسکین وہیں رہ گئی دل وہیں رہ گیا جاں وہیں رہ گئی خم اسی در پہ اپنی جبی رہ گئی
If you're grateful to Allah, He will give you more.
Sayyidina Jabir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has said that the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam came to us and said, just now, my Khalil, meaning my friend Jibreel alayhi salam, came to me and said, O Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, I swear by the one who has sent you with truthfulness on a peak of a mountain in a sea, a bondman of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala worshipped Allah azza wa jal for 500 years. The length and the width of the mountain were 30 arms each. Allah azza wa jal took out a sweet canal as wide as a finger in which sweet water would flow slowly and accumulate beneath the mountain. And would grow a pomegranate from the pomegranate tree every night for him. In the evening, he, meaning the person who did was worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the evening he would come down, make wudu, and would eat pomegranate, and would stand for salah. At the time of death, he humbly asked Allah azza wa jal to seize his soul in the state of sajda, and raise him on the day of judgment in the state of sajda. So then Jibreel alayhi salam said, when he will be raised on the day of judgment and he will be standing in the blessed court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal will say, make my bondsman enter paradise by virtue of my mercy. He will humbly say, oh Allah azza wa jal, by virtue of my deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, make my bondsman enter paradise by virtue of my mercy. He will say again, ya Allah, by virtue of my deeds. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will order the angels to compare the deeds of my bondsman with the blessings I bestowed upon him. The blessing of I, merely one I, will surround his 500 years of worship, and the blessing of the rest of the body will be more than that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will order, make my bondsman enter Jahannam. He will be dragged towards Jahannam. He will call out, oh my Lord, make me enter paradise, make me enter Jannah through your mercy. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will order to bring him back. He will be brought back. Now he's going to be standing in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him about those blessings which were bestowed upon him in the middle of the sea on a mountain. He will humbly say, O Allah Azza wa Jal, O my Lord, all these things are done by you. Allah Azza wa Jal will say, all these happened because of my mercy, and I make you enter paradise also by my mercy. He will then be made to enter paradise. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam humbly said, O Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, undoubtedly, all things are by virtue of the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. My dear viewers of Madani channel, we heard a beautiful narration about the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. We heard that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did justice to the person who worshipped him for 500 years continuously, that person was deserving the hell. Finally, he succeeded only for the sake of the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Subhanallah. We listen to such a wonderful kalam, and together with that, we also listen to the nasiha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to make amal ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. Dear viewers, we were discussing the parables of divine mercy. Subhanallah, the parables we have listened to, it highlights that the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is obtained through various different means and through various different ways. One sure thing is by doing sincere and good deeds, by taking care of our parents, by looking after them, by being obedient to them, by serving them, that invokes the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the second example, we learned that by making tawbah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sincerely withholding our hands from committing sins, though we have the ability, we can do it, but we withhold from that action only due to the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sincerely for the sake of Allah. And then the last example we listen to is of the man who, out of sincerity, he had given the due of this employee, although the money had multiplied over time, and he gave all of it to him for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was truthful and he was true and honest in his dealings, subhanallah. And these actions proven to invoke the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this man, he subhanallah, at the end, they got deliverance from that cave in which they were trapped and they were stuck. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to sincerely make tawbah and to do those good deeds, virtues that take us closer in the divine proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and makes us deserving of the divine mercy of Allah. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. By serving our parents, by abstaining from sins, by making tawbah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and by doing righteous actions and by being truthful in our dealings. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. Inshallah azza wa jal, we have, mashallah, another episode, same time, same place, only on your Madani channel. So stay tuned with Madani channel and recite salawat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Islamic parables, timeless and bright, springing the soul to the path of light. Islamic.